This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Well, hey, because of everything going on in the world, as Ashley and I have promised, we're going to try to put as many podcast episodes out there into the podcast world as possible. And today, we're coming out with another Almost Famous podcast. This time, it's an in-depth with Hannah and Dylan from The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and then also Bachelor in Paradise. Ashley, you've been excited about this one. You've been doing a lot of research. What do you expect out of this interview?
Well, Dylan doesn't hold back. In fact, I think Dylan likes to be a little sassy. Dylan likes to make a headline here or there. So I'm hoping we get that version of him and Hannah isn't trying to make him go in some sort of PC direction.
I think today's podcast maybe won't be as, who knows? I don't want to assume, but my assumption, my guess would be it's not going to be as emotional as some in-depth podcast in the past.
Okay, yes.
But it's going to be hilarious. I know that you've done your research to try to get the tea, as the kids are saying, out of Hannah and Dylan. And I am excited to speak to two people who have made me laugh many times. I know them well. You know them well. Hey, Almost Famous family, you know them well as well. Let's bring Hannah and Dylan onto the first in-depth episode of this new season in our life. It's Hannah and Dylan.
So, Hannah and Dylan, welcome to the Almost Famous In-Depth podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. By the way, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats,
Thank
dude.
You.
From hey. One engaged man to another.
It's a good life, isn't it?
It's the best.
Yeah, I feel a new sense of like joy and peace and comfort. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I told Hannah there's like five things you want to check off in your life, and one of them is like not having to worry, but like finding like that like relationship half of your life or portion. And once you find it, it just like opens up so much more things for you. So yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, I have so much more space to think about productive things in my head now that I don't have to worry about finding someone.
Exactly. You're like, you can focus more on like work, on your
yes.
on friends. Like it's the best. Yeah.
I became so work oriented as soon as Jared and I got engaged.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I proposed to Jess, obviously, this week, and it wasn't supposed to go down the way it did. And I was worried that this self-isolation time would kind of take away from the proposal. But we talked about it on the last episode of Almost Famous. And the greatest part is now, like, typically we're both traveling, we're moving about just like you guys are and just like Ashley is and just like a lot of people are that listen to this podcast. Now we're stuck to just like enjoy each other. And we had a date night last night and Jess looked over at me and she said, like, what's great about this experience is we've never spent this much time without distraction. Like, I've always known I've loved you, but now I know, like, more than ever that this is going to work. And, like, I appreciate that because we've had so much time to hang out.
Yeah.
There's always, like, a constant list of things to do. And right now, during this whole self-isolation time, it's like, you don't have any FOMO. You don't have any trips. Like, you're just kind of focused on the moment in a sense. So,
yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It is. Hey, if you guys hear background noise with Dylan and Hannah or Ashley or myself, we are all in separate places, except Dylan and Hannah are kind of like sitting on top of each other right now. And then Ashley and I are separate places in homes. And so please forgive us. We don't have a studio right now. We don't have our own quiet spaces. We are coming to you live from the comfort of our own Skype. So please give us a little grace if you hear some pounding and banging in the background.
Ben, how do you look so cool with the background blur?
I was gonna ask you that. He upgraded. He
it's
got
like
the new
mode.
Is it Windows?
Yeah,
portrait mode going on his Skype.
Yeah, you're right. So if anybody's out there wondering, we're on Skype right now, and I guess there's a setting that kind of blurs your background and makes you like stand out. I feel like a cartoon character right now.
You're so cartoonish.
Yeah. So Hannah and Dylan, you are beloved by Bachelor Nation, and I want to tell you a little bit about what the in-depth podcast is. So a couple times a year, we pick some of Bachelor Nation's favorite couples or people, and we invite them into our kind of world at the Almost Famous universe to just sit down with the two two of you and focus on your stories. We really just want to hear who you are as people. This is a time to not just dive into the show. This is not a time to just explore what happened in Paradise or during The Bachelor or Bachelorette. This is a time for us to get to know you better, you as a couple better, to see where this goes. At the end, we usually have no clue where the podcast is going to take us, but it's always exciting and it's always an interesting journey. The two of you obviously met in Bachelor in Paradise. That's how people know you today. And you come to us not only because you are loved by Bachelor Nation, but because I met you all at a Bachelor Live on stage event. And Dylan, in his typical fashion, looked at me and said, "Why haven't we come on your podcast yet?" And I said, "That's a great question, mostly because we didn't know if you would have us. And so we're happy that you two are sitting with us today during this time of self-isolation."
So, well, thank you for having us.
I'm going to get started at the very beginning. You guys just kind of spitball. You take it as you want. Growing up, bringing you to the place where you became a part of Bachelor Nation, tell us who you were. If you could give us a summary of your childhood, how you ended up on the show, what you were like in high school, and why you both were still single looking for love, well, when this show came to you.
Go for it.
You were on first, so you should go first.
Well, all right. So, let's see. Who was I? Okay. I think I would definitely consider myself being like pretty shy in middle school, high school, and I had like my close-knit group of friends. I didn't go on a bunch of dates or anything. I had one relationship in high school, and we were together for 5 years, which like in high school is kind of crazy. It was like towards the end of like sophomore year or something, or junior year, we started dating. But before that, like, I had never gone to dances with people. I always went with my friends, and like, I don't know, like, I was not the super cool girl ever. And yeah, I was cool with it though. I was like, whatever, like, I'm just me and my friends, and I'm like the goofy one, whatever. And then went to college. I guess I was still the same, like, still had my core group of like girlfriends and everything. And one summer I did an internship in LA, and it like changed my life and my perspective on things. I'm from Alabama, so I was always just kind of like, you know, I'd only seen like the South really and not done a bunch of traveling. And so I went to LA and I was like, whoa, like there's a lot going on out here. I like the energy and everything like that. And that kind of was like a game changer for me, and it kind of opened new perspectives on my relationship, which I was like, you know what, I can't be with somebody that I'm not fully committed with. Like, I was the guy, my 5 year long relationship, I thought it was a good relationship, but it was never great. Like, he was a great person, I just don't think we were super compatible. So I ended things, and or we ended things, and then I was like single and do my own thing. And I was like, yeah, I want to get back out to LA. Like, Alabama's great and all, but you know, I want to like just have like a more challenging something in my life. And yeah, I was single for a while, went on some dates, all that stuff. And then somehow the show kind of crossed my path, and I thought there was literally no way in hell I would, like a lot of us, like, I was like, there's 0% chance I would get on this. Like, this is, it was almost comical just because I was like, this isn't a real life thing. Like, this doesn't actually happen to people. I was that person. Like, I've never really won something in like a contest before. Like, I've never had my name drawn. So signing up for something like this, I was like, there's no way I'll get on, whatever. Just, it was more of like, let's just do it. And if it bites, it happens. And if not, like, I'm still single, so adventure, whatever. And yeah, got casted for the show, and it was just insane. I was like focusing more on myself, relationship, what I wanted, who I wanted to be with, and then all the things that come along with the show, which is like just, everything. Like, my life went from like a 40 and crazy to like 110 in craziness. So
How long were you in LA before the show?
Yeah, where was I happened? Going with that?
Well, who signed you up for the show? Did you sign up yourself?
So my best friend Dina and I, she was like, she's my best friend in the world. And she was like, Hannah, you have to do the show. And I kept putting it off because I was like, if I send in questions or something, like, I don't know, making a video, I was like, that just seems like a lot of effort. Like, I won't get it anyway, so whatever. But one day we had had some mimosas and some drinks, and then we recorded some questions, sent it in, and the rest was history. I remember the first night of the show, I was like, I was telling the producers, I was like, I know I'm like probably going home, like whatever. And they're just like, they were like, you know, they can't give you any clues or anything. They were just like, well, you know, you never know. Like, I think you'll be fine, but who knows? And I remember when I got the first impression rose, that was the moment where I was like, I wrote it down in my journal. It's very like a heavy description on it. I was like, this is the moment when I was like, okay, like craziness is probably going to happen. And then after the show, it was just insane, but really fun. And then went to Paradise. Cause I was like, well, you know, if there's something in a sense therapeutic about going on the show, about learning about yourself and really focusing on love, especially with the crazy world after the Bachelor, I was like, how am I supposed to date or whatever? And you know, it happens, whatever. But you know, I was like, Paradise, this seems like pretty cool. Like another new adventure. I learned a lot about myself the first show, so why not? And again, I wasn't like thinking of it super seriously. I was just like, well, who knows? And then I met Dylan, and then now we're quarantined together in San Diego. So yeah.
I want to go back for a second. What was your internship in when you were out in LA during college?
I worked at Show Me Your Moo. It's a clothing company, and okay, yeah. They're so much fun to work with. And yeah, it's awesome.
So, hey, Hannah, I got to ask you, though, you can't – I think there's a level here where I hear you didn't expect to get on the show. And fans hear you didn't expect to get on the show. But you come on the show, and I think you, like, have a larger-than-life personality and a larger-in-life, like, character that you become, and people are huge fans of you. Has it at what point in time did you realize that moving to L.A. from Alabama – seeing the bright lights of LA, then getting put on this show, like at what point did you realize that your life was changing in pretty large ways from your small town of Alabama? Because I'm from Indiana, and I remember showing up to the mansion for the first time, walking out and going, this is unlike anything I've ever seen before. I don't know how to handle it.
I think every moment. Along even taking the flight out to LA for the like casting and everything, the whole time I was just like in disbelief. But that's how I am. Like, I tend to overly take things in and take in moments just so I can really wrap my head around it. I don't know why I'm like that. But every single moment I was just like documenting like how insane it was. And I don't know, I feel like still to this day though, as much as I've grasped my head around all of these different things we've experienced, I still haven't grasped my head around like that people might think, oh, I'm Hannah G. Like that doesn't make any sense and it never will, which I don't want it to. I'm like, the moment that makes sense, that's when I gotta like stop doing all this stuff because I'm just like hanging out doing me. And I tell Dylan all the time, I'm like, isn't it wild? Like, we just have these conversations about just how insane all of this is. And I never want that to seem normal because I know it's not. And it, in a sense, it's a scary position to be in that we're all in, but it's also a really cool one too. It's like something we'll all tell our grandkids, all of us.
It's I've always said this, Hannah, and I think it's one of the best like things in my mind is that one day I'll be talking to my grandkids. I'll be sitting in a rocking chair on my front porch and they'll be like, tell me, because I do the same thing with my grandpa. And I'm always intrigued at the stories he has to tell and how different life was for him when he was in his 20s and 30s and teens. And I wonder what it's going to be like to have to explain what we did to those kids and how shocking it's going to be that one, like at one point in their life, their grandparents were on a television show. Like, I don't think it's ever going to be able to be processed, but I'm so excited for that moment.
Yeah, it's really neat. And I think the people that go through this and they think it's all totally completely normal and not a big deal, and they think that they're like owed this or something, that's the ones where I'm like, they're lost. Like, that, you know, it's just like, it is crazy. It's wild. And it's cool that at least we every day we just try to find like the normal like side of it, which I think we do fairly well. We're pretty normal average Joes. So
I feel like we're pretty normal.
Yeah.
Well, before we pass it over to you, Dylan, Hannah, one of the parts that kind of get overlooked in your life oftentimes now because of the show is your success and your time spent in pageants. Now, that was something that we kind of glossed over that I didn't hear about when you were explaining your upbringing. So I don't know if you consider that a big part of your life or not, or if you still do. But I assumed that the pageants is what brought you to LA. And so obviously we've heard that it wasn't. So just clear that up a little bit.
Okay, there are definitely a lot of moments that I missed, but if I named all the things that got me or kind of led me, I feel like this would be a too long of a podcast. But I definitely did some modeling things, which was introduced to me. That was insane. Got some cool like marketing opportunities. And then within that, I was like, let's pageants. I wasn't somebody who did pageants when I was really young. Some of the pageant directors are like, yeah, why don't you give this a shot? And I was like, well, why not? Like, you know, another adventure, pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And so I did that. I did three pageants. And I think I got, in those, I got third runner up. And then my last one, I got first runner up in Miss Congeniality, which I still to this day think getting Miss Congeniality, which is like in pageant terms, like where all the contestants like vote like who is like the friendliest, and I got that, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And I did compete against Hannah Brown my final year. Neither of us won that year though, and then I moved to LA because I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna get out and be done with this whole pageant thing. It did teach me a lot, but I was just ready to like kind of determine my own destiny instead of like a few judges kind of doing it. So I was like, let me just get out, see how it goes. And then the next year I went to go watch the pageant in the audience, and Hannah Brown won, which I was like with the Moo Moo people when we watched, and I voted for her. I was like, she's going to win. She seems so sweet. They're like, she did it last year. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I totally forgot. Cause there's so many people that do it. But, yeah.
Well, Hannah, I would tell you this, you and Hannah Brown are two gifts from Alabama that has brought us a lot of laughter, a lot of joy. Some would say tears. We've cried with you. We've laughed with you. And we've also cried with your man sitting that's next to you right now, Dylan. Dylan, you are one of a kind. I remember the very first time I met Dylan was at Bachelor in Paradise, and Wells Adams came up to me. Wells is always just a great friend and big supporter, and he was down there, and we were at a wedding, and he came up and he says, hey, Ben, I have somebody pushing you as my favorite person to come from the franchise. And I was like, well, who's that? It has to be a girl. No, it's Dylan. He goes, this Dylan guy is the nicest guy. He's funny. You guys would get along great. And so, Dylan, I'm pumped to have you on the podcast. I want to hear, though, a little, just an overview of who you were coming up to the show, just so our audience gets to know you outside of this crazy world. And then I know Ashley's going to dive into who you became and who and what has happened during your time on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. But, Dylan, tell us a little bit about what makes you you.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I had a pretty typical upbringing. Like, I grew up in Orange County, went to school from like sixth grade to 12th grade, went to the same school, have like the same 10 best friends that I grew up with, like since I was, I don't know, like 12 years old. I had a girlfriend pretty much a majority of college. And then after graduating, moved out to San Francisco, worked at Morgan Stanley, kind of was like similar to Hannah. I was like single for a while. And then my dad got diagnosed with cancer, so I ended up kind of just like reevaluating what was important in my life, and just like what, like I was sitting at my desk, I was like, what am I doing? and my boss saying, like, they were very supportive, but there was one day where he's like, I can't give you time off for Christmas if you're going to go home giving. And I was like, this is the dumbest conversation I've ever had. So then I just got up and told him I was leaving and quit and moved to San Diego like a week later. And my cousin and I had been going back and forth at the same time about this idea we had about, you know, being able to work out, give back, and like redeem personal things. So like treat yourself. And so that's when we ended up starting our company. So the way that works is every day you work out, you can donate a meal to charity. And each time you donate, you get points and you can like support local businesses and get like free drinks and appetizers. After doing all of that, I was in a relationship for like 8 or 9 months, and it was like not the healthiest at all. It was actually very unhealthy. Definitely a pretty bad breakup. And then like a month or two prior to that, my dad passed away. So I had like a lot of shitty things going on. And my mom was like, why don't we go on vacation? Like, let's just head out. And so in November, we went to the Maldives, and I was like, all right, I needed this. This was great. And then I got a message on Instagram, and I opened it, and it was from Lindsay Lyles. And she was like, hey, I'm a casting producer for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I'd love to talk to you about being on the show. And I was just like, I like laughed, and then I just deleted it. I was like, no. And then I went out and just like hung out with my mom on the beach. And after a few days, like, you never believe who messaged me like on Instagram to try out for a show. And she was like, who? And I told her, she's like, why not? Like, it's, she had like such a funny line. She's like, it's nice to be invited to the dance, even though you're probably not going to go. And I was like, thanks. I was like, thanks, mom.
Thanks, mom.
And so, yeah, so then I was like, all right, I messaged her back. I was like, okay, like, I'm interested. We FaceTimed a few times, and I did the whole weekend in LA. And I just kept saying like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get it. It's kind of similar to Hannah. I was like, yeah, I'm probably not going to get it, but it was fun. Like, it was such a cool experience. And then Natalie Shabtai called me in the shower, like while I was in the shower, and I answered it while in the shower on Valentine's Day. And she was like, hey, like, you're going to need to be here in like 3 weeks. And that's when I was like, holy shit, like, this is a wild. And then since then, like, we finished filming, I was off the show for like 3 weeks, and then went straight to Paradise and met Hannah. So it's kind of been like a whirlwind since then.
You just reminded me that today is the 6-year anniversary that I got the phone call from casting that they were interested in talking to me. It was on April Fool's Day, and I had submitted my application 9 months earlier.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
That's so crazy. Wow. This is a really, really weird day, because like, this is like kind of like the day that it symbolizes like everything changed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that, it was like, it was crazy for me. I remember like getting out of the shower and looking at my cousin, and then just being like, holy shit. And then
things about to go wild.
Yeah.
I'm about to get engaged.
The craziest one was the night the first episode of Paradise aired. That was like the wildest moment for me. We can like talk about it more later, but
it's good to get to that point. So I'm going to pause you there. We now know the high level details of what brought you and Hannah to be who we know today. Dylan, a couple things I want to just kind of clarify with you is what is the status of kind of everything with work, with family, now? Can you just kind of catch us up for our listeners who maybe don't know you well and who want to kind of get filled in on the details of everything you spoke about? Can you just share with us?
Yeah, no. So I started the company with my cousin a little over 2 years ago now. So this, I just went back to what I was doing after the show. Nothing really changed for me. It was kind of just like going back to normal life. So still doing that full time. We're growing pretty quickly. So we've got like 5 full-time people now, which is exciting for us. My family's doing well. My brother moved down. We hired him actually. So he works for us too. He's down here in San Diego.
Awesome.
My mom's thinking about selling her house and moving to San Diego. So, it's been good. It's been a blast. And yeah, I mean, I have nothing but positive things to say about the entire experience.
So now all of you are in San Diego. You are an entrepreneur. Your business is thriving. I don't want to miss it, Dylan. And so where can people find your business? Just before we kind of dive in with Ashley here, how can people locate you and how can they kind of follow that with that journey?
Yeah, it's an app, so you can download it right now. It's kind of specific to San Diego at the moment, but it's called Visor, V-I-Z-E-R. But yeah, so we're opening it nationally, hopefully in a few months here. We're working with World Central Kitchen and Revolution Foods. But yeah, you can follow us on Instagram. It's Vizer App, V-I-Z-E-R-A-P-P. It's in my bio too. So, but our website's VizerApp.com. So it's all pretty good. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. I'm sure we're going to get into more details as we go. Hey, but let's take a break. Before I bring it over to Ashley, I want to just take one break here from our sponsors, and we'll come back with Hannah and Dylan during this in-depth podcast with the Almost Famous podcast.
So, Hannah, it sounds like you were a fan of the show, and Dylan, did you ever watch the show before being on it?
No, I'd never seen it, like not once. So I had absolutely no idea what I was getting to. I know when they told me that I was going on, I like watched highlight tapes, and then I watched the first episode of Colton season, and I picked Hannah or Cassie to win, actually. So that was pretty funny.
That is funny. Okay, so you watched the first episode of Colton season because you wanted to see who was going to be possibly your bachelorette?
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to see like what it was like because I still had really no idea. I saw a lot of Chad Johnson highlights.
Okay, and, just like on YouTube?
Yeah, and then I think there was like top 10 moments and I like watched that and I was like, oh, okay. I kind of get it now.
So then how did you feel when Hannah Brown was announced as the bachelorette and not Hannah G?
I was pretty excited. I mean, I had a few people that I was hoping it would be. Hannah Brown obviously being one of them. But I just think when I got there, we didn't really have like any like connection really, unfortunately. Like both tried very hard, but it just like kind of wasn't there.
You were kind of like the Tanner of your season where you seemed like a great option, but the bachelorette and you didn't have the most chemistry, and then you became a big Bachelor in Paradise star.
I wouldn't say star, but I
okay.
But like no,
I would say star.
It was fun. I had a great time, and I remember I left. I was just like, that was an awesome experience. It was kind of meant to be. I remember saying in our last conversation, I was like, how am I supposed to introduce you to my mom if like we don't know anything about each other? And then I went, and then I went home 24 hours. Okay. Late.
Hannah, you were a fan?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
When did you start watching?
I definitely watched Ben's season. Who's before you?
Before Ben's season would have been well, Chris Soules' Bachelor season and Caitlin's
yep.
Bachelorette
yep.
season.
Yep. Yeah. Seen both of them. Do you know before that? I don't know the order of any of these. It was around.
Before that, like Juan Pablo and Andy?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched Andy's season.
Okay.
It was one of those things, like the Monday, like eat Chinese food with my mom. Mm-hmm.
Same.
It was just like one of like the special, like fun memory things. And then whenever I was on it, she was like freaking out, losing her mind. It was like the sweetest thing ever.
That was the same thing with me and my mom. We would always get delivery on Monday nights and watch The Bachelorette. So my mom, like, it was just the highlight of her life seeing me on the show. And it was a joke that we always had. How was your dad about it, Hannah?
My dad had never watched the show before. Like, I don't think he realized the extent of how just big thing it is for people.
Yeah, same with my dad.
He's excited, like, for me to just, like, go explore and, you know, maybe find somebody really great. Like, he the most simple dude ever, so he was just, like, supportive and awesome about it. I don't think he realized how big it was until I took him to he knew the show was big and everything, but I took him to a country concert because he loves country music. And instead of all these people going up to like the country singers, these people were like lined up and he was there with me. And I think like we got in the car that night and he was like, whoa, this is actually kind of crazy. I was like, yeah, you know, I forgot to kind of say that. Like, it is kind of wild. But it was when the show
there
was
is off, something. There is something crazy about country concerts and Bachelor fans. So in between your seasons and going to be on Paradise, there was a lot of DMing, texting, even seeing each other in real life. As we know that Blake came to see you down in Alabama. did you and Dylan ever exchange any DMs? Because seeing how Dylan was so taken by you that, you know, immediately in Paradise, I would think that Dylan, you would have reached out to Hannah.
I don't know.
Oh, you did?
Dylan totally slid in my DMs.
No, I...
Which, whatever. See, so here's the thing. Now for the future, everybody's like, this is a giant no-no, obviously. And at the time, everybody was like, ah, like, whatever. But then it's like, well, we're a bunch of single people. And, like, it's not really anything deep. Is it just, like, friendly? How it's, like, Bachelor Nation kind of weird stuff. And then, yeah, apparently it's a giant no-no for any future people going on Paradise. Don't recommend, just don't reply, and yeah.
If you don't reply, do you think you're kind of screwing yourself over for finding a partner in Paradise at this point?
What do you mean, if I don't reply?
Yeah, like, it feels like almost everybody goes in almost coupled up, or like knowing who they're going to ask on their first date.
I think people have ideas just because they've seen the show, or now with social media out there, they like see kind of who the person is, or if they're like a bad, not a good person or whatever. And, or if they just simply think they're cute. But, you know, I think I looked at it way too simply in the sense of just like, you know, like, yeah, I want to find somebody. And there's no, it was all very just like, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen and whatever, like very just like friendly convos. But obviously when they hone in on it on a show that's only 2 hours, you know, an episode, then it looks like there was some master plan or something when truly it was just very, he had a master plan apparently. But
100%. There's nothing to be ashamed of with DMing before the show. I think that you guys are now together. I think we should celebrate that and say that's wild, that's crazy, that's hilarious. But I don't see, I personally don't see any reason why what either of you did by messaging beforehand or whatever is wrong.
Well, we did see each other beforehand.
Oh, you did see each other beforehand.
There was a group of people.
Yeah.
So you didn't go on a solo date, but you went on like a group date?
We were in the same area as a few different people. And I thought Dylan was just...
I was playing like, hard to get.
I think it may come as a shock. Which I was just like, you know, playing it cool too. Like it wasn't like we're like, oh, hey, or anything weird. It was just like, And then after that, apparently he DM'd me.
What do you mean apparently?
Where was this meeting at? Can we hear? Where was this group meeting at? Was this... This was... A group meeting, we have to elaborate. So here's the thing about a podcast is like everybody's going to love you too. They already do. But we have to make sense of how this all came to be. You're in love. People are going to be mad at you for being in love. Like that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. So elaborate. Where did you meet? How did it go down? Dylan, you then slid into the DMs. You waited until Paradise. We saw the turmoil in Paradise leading up to this moment that Ashley will ask you about. But where was this meeting?
It was, we met in LA. And
we grabbed some drinks.
Some people.
At what restaurant?
I gave her my sweatshirt. Smooth move. It was like my favorite sweatshirt. It's actually like, it was like the most thing I've ever spent money on in my entire life. So I like, it was beloved to me.
Well, it was just kind of cold, but it was like kind of weird. Like it wasn't smooth. He was like, I was like, oh, it's kind of cold. And it was not a long ordeal, like the whole time. And I was like, it's kind of cold. He was like, well, do you want my sweatshirt? I'm kind of hot. And I was like, and then in my head, I was like, well, maybe he's like trying to be nice. And I was like, yeah, sure. Whatever. And then I was like, and then as soon as we all said goodbye.
I said,
really nice sweatshirt, which I didn't know. And he was like, you could just keep the sweatshirt if you want. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, here you go. Thank you, though.
She's like, no. I was like, no, seriously, you could just keep it. It's all good. I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. And from there, it was all
good. That's adorable. That is so cute. Can you tell us where this happened and what other Bachelor alums were present?
Can't say the Bachelor alums.
No, it was in LA. It was at a hotel. Like a restaurant bar. Super casual.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's definitely some like creepy stuff. There's like you're making this sound a lot bit of a bigger deal than it probably was.
It sounds creepy. There's no creepy stuff.
What do you mean you can't talk about the Bachelor alums over there?
because we don't want to put their, we don't want them to be like.
I don't want them to get in trouble.
Fair enough.
Oh, they're fine.
Fair enough.
They're definitely fine.
It wasn't anything weird. It was like a very like. Friend of friend, then a friend of friend, and we all just hung, and then it was
it was a four-person meeting. We talked about insider trading, and so that's why I don't really want to get into it.
Okay. All right. I'll respect you and move on to actual paradise. But since paradise was so far away, you know, like 6 months, it's been over 6 months since it was done airing. I'm wondering if you now can tell us what happened between you and Blake and that triangle of love and like Tayshia's involvement. Anything that we didn't see on TV that possibly would, you know, make a lot of sense to us.
I mean, we didn't talk like the entire month we were there. If that.
But wait, what do you mean?
I don't know. I don't.
Who?
Me and Blake.
Oh.
Like, yeah, is there stuff that happened in Paradise that was crucial to your love story that we didn't get to see?
Well, I mean, you didn't get to see 98% of the time we hung out.
Yeah, like, I think the entire time, basically, I was trying not to get in everybody's business. And I was talking to a producer about, like, you know, I feel like a little played, like, basically, here's what's happened. And, like, you know, but I don't feel like I should involve myself, like just trying to be like, what's the best way to approach this, whatever. And I was like, so who should I like tell first? Like, what should I do? And then while I had said that, they somehow twisted it into somebody figuring out somehow without me saying it.
Figuring out what?
I'm not sure exactly how it happened. And then people came up to me and were like confronting me, like, what the heck? And I was like, wait, this is kind of in the works, like, of me trying to figure out a way to say this. But then it looked like I was just being secretive and sketchy.
Okay.
So basically in the interview rooms, I was like, well, here's what's happening, blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to figure out ways to, like, tell people about it. And then all of a sudden it was out there. And then it was like, why wouldn't you tell me? And I was like, basically, like, dude, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the best time? Like, what's the deal? What's the situation? I don't know. I think it was very confusing. Even watching, I was trying to follow that narrative. I don't know.
I feel like you have to ask questions.
Yeah. What questions do you guys have? Like, what did it seem like from you guys' perspective?
Ashley is a Bachelor in Paradise expert. I will tell you that. She is really good at understanding Bachelor in Paradise because I've never been there. And her insight always helps me. From my perspective, it's this. This is how I took it, and then I can throw it to Ashley. Hannah, you were a hot commodity. People wanted to get to know you. They were interested in you in Paradise. People were intrigued by who you were. We knew that going in. We had even talked to you about it. We said, oh, watch out for Paradise, Hannah. This is going to get wild for you. Dylan was kind of like the sneaky pick. Like, he was the underdog that came in at the end. We're like, oh, this Dylan dude's super good looking, really funny, really nice guy. I think he stands a chance. Like, I think he might win the girl here. And I think what I felt like was it got so much so quickly for you, Hannah, that it felt overwhelming almost. Even watching as a friend and a supporter was like, oh my gosh, there's no right decision she can make here because everything is coming down on her at once and there was no right place to turn. That's how I took it.
So I think what Ben is saying is, how long did the Blake drama last and was there more of a conclusion to it than we saw on air?
All of that drama was probably a total of 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it seemed like it was over a bunch of different episodes, but I think total, like, that dramatic part was honestly 2 to 3 days where I was just like really stressed out because I was like, geez, like, I feel like I could do zero right in this part, or maybe I just like suck as a person. I'm not really sure, but all I know is that it's not a good situation. And I just was like trying to figure out ways to make it, like, make more sense to everybody, or I don't know. It was just really stressful. And then meanwhile, I didn't know that people were saying really bad things in interviews about me. or not bad things. I mean, just things that I had never heard about myself before. And so I was just going around like it wasn't a giant deal. It was just more like, yeah, like, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. And then, yeah. And I didn't know about the whole, like, how, like, Kaylin and Blake had a bunch of drama at the same time.
You didn't know that?
Very confusing. Like, I knew about the Stagecoach thing, but from what I had heard before the show, because I was like, ah, that's kind of shady. I'm not sure, like, whatever. Like, just trying to, like, not really go in depth about it. But he literally was like, yeah, we squashed it, or, you know, whatever. And then it came out. So I was, like, confused. I was like, wait, was he lying, or was it worse? And then all those crazy texts came out. It was just a big jumble of crazy drama. And I was like, okay, how can I remove myself from, like, this type of drama? Like, I was just kind of like going in trying to, you know, figure out if I was gonna like be with somebody or date somebody, and I somehow superly overly got involved in a ton of drama.
So now we go to present day. Who do you dread running into at Bachelor Nation events?
A lot of people, I'd say, probably, if we're gonna be honest.
Yeah, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Ew.
A lot of people, but, like, no one we're going to name.
Well, I mean, who do you think?
I think that you guys probably don't want to run into Blake or Tayshia.
I don't really have an issue with... I don't, like, do you have an issue with Tayshia? I don't really have an issue with
that. Yeah, me and Tayshia, we're cool now. I mean, it's, you know, it's awkward, but, like, again, from, like, from what I was perceived as on the show, I feel like Tayshia also could have been perceived as something else. So I'm trying to take that into account. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't really hold grudges. If we're all just confused and exhausted and not even sure what any truth is at some point on the show, then I need to give them a break. So, I mean, we're cool now.
Okay. That's awesome. You guys also... You have, like, a group of friends from these past two seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette that, like, there's so many breakups and so much tension between so many of them. How was your engagement party when you had Hannah Brown with Jed and with Peter at the same place?
It was super fun. I don't think anybody really interacted with each other, but...
It was actually very peaceful. There was so much going on, and people got there at different times and things like that. Honestly, I was so focused on having fun, and I think everybody, in a sense, kind of had their group of people, so I don't think any weird paths were crossed, luckily, because that could have gone super downhill, but it was really fun. I had so many friends from, you know, Alabama out there. Dill had friends from all over, so we were having just as much fun, you know, fun with them as we were with, like, our Bachelor friends and stuff, so luckily, it was very peaceful.
So you're good friends with Hannah Ann. Did you help her get on the show?
I don't think she needed any help getting on that show at all, but I had one of the producers reach out when we took a picture together or story or something last year, and he was like, whoa, is she single? Like, you know, and I was like, hey, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever, and she was in a relationship, and then they ended up breaking up, and when I got back from Paradise, she was like, hey, it's kind of random, but you remember when you asked me, or I told her something when the producer asked me, I was like, hey, I know you're in a relationship, but how funny, like, this, you know, producer from The Bachelor asked about you. And she's like, oh, that's funny, whatever. And then after Paradise, she had, like, after my Paradise, they had ended things. And she was like, I kind of want to, like, look into it. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. And I was like, why not? Like, just, like, see how it goes, see if it's your thing, whatever. And I don't think I helped her, but, you know, she definitely.
You put a good word in.
I definitely put in a good word, but. You know, I think she definitely would have gotten on the show regardless of me.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
So when she insinuates on After the Final Rose that Peter reached out to Hannah Brown during their engagement, and you being friends with Hannah Ann and Peter and Hannah Brown, got to know what you know about this.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't really know. That was definitely news to me. And I think it's also, like, at the end of the day, between the three of them, I guess.
It's like anybody's friends. Like, just because they're on TV and so many people are invested in it, it's like, my normal friends who haven't been on the show back in Alabama or something, if they had something weird going on, like, I don't feel like it's totally my place to, like, hop in or try to, like, get a bunch of clues. I didn't even know that Hannah Ann, like, had been engaged or anything. So it was very hush. Like, I just told her, I was like, I'm here to support you in whatever ways, like, you know. And I respected it because you can't just be, like, prowl for information. Like, there's more to a friendship than trying to, like, figure out what happened on a show. So I was like, I have your back, you know, just, like, let me know if you are struggling with anything or if you just want to chat, like, as a friend and not talk about Bachelor stuff. So that's kind of the role that I played in it. And whenever some spoilers came out, I just kind of reached out and I was like, hey, like, you know, I'm here, whatever. And let's chat after. So.
Well, hey, we're all a Bachelor Nation. This has been one of the wildest seasons I can remember. I kind of forgot, Hannah, that you were so closely connected to Hannah Ann. I figured you would have known that she was engaged, but it's probably good that you didn't, because the last few weeks would have been so confusing, because you go from being engaged to being broken up to then seeing Peter still in Chicago with Kelly here, as we've got breaking news as of today. Dylan, Hannah, Ashley, let's take a break. We'll come back. And I want to speak to the two of you about who you are, where you're going, and what the future looks like for the two of you as a couple. We're back with Dylan and Hannah G. Hannah, I don't know if you remember this, but Ashley and I talk about it often. You go down in the Hall of Fame as one of our favorite guests to ever be on the podcast. Ashley, do you remember when we first had Hannah G on right after her season got done?
Yes, we were both in awe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, thanks, guys.
We were both like, I mean, we both were just taken back by, first off, how funny you were. And how kind of creative you were in your responses and just how easy you were to talk to. And then I meet Dylan. Dylan, don't worry. You're sitting there going, oh, it's always about Hannah. It's not, Dylan. It's also about you. I meet Dylan a couple times now, and you exude the same joy. I want to tell you this. If anybody's out there listening going, I'm a big fan of Hannah and Dylan. I've got to be around them as a couple a few times. And there is this infectious I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but what I get out of being seeing you two in relationship is there's just this deep, true friendship. Do you mind speaking to that? Because I think when people see you, they see you giggling, they see you hanging on each other, they see you kissing at, like, sometimes, like, inappropriate moments, which is great when you see it for a couple that's in love, but you also have a friendship. Can you tell our listeners what that friendship between the two of you is like?
First of all, thank you so much for saying that. That really means a lot.
Yeah, thank you. I thought you didn't like me at first.
All right.
I can be. I can
Dylan,
be polar.
Dylan, I don't want to play this game. You know I've liked you. You know that I enjoy your presence.
Just compliment me a little bit more.
Jeez. All right. Tell us about your friendship.
I don't know. We just, like, have the exact same sense of humor, and I feel like from the moment we met each other, we were like, oh, okay. Like, I like hanging out with this person.
And it's the way we communicate. And we say this all the time. Like, if we're just, like, chilling, you know, when you're just, like, talking about whatever, like, we both always say it back and forth, but I feel like Dylan is, like, family. Like, the way that you talk about, or the way I talk about, like, my mom, my dad, my very best friend in the whole world. Like, that's how I feel about Dill. And I don't know. It's really cool. It's a very safe space. Like, anything I say, I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah, I can say anything around you. And
we're so dumb when we're alone.
Yeah. Like, we're just like, whatever comes to mind, we just say it and there's no holding back. And then also just, like, you know, being a person there besides, you know, humor aside, really just when something's bothering either of us, I don't feel like I've never felt once ever judged about feeling whatever way that I feel, even if it's possibly not rational or what, but it's just like, me feeling like the truest form of me, especially after, you know, going through something so crazy like this. Nobody really gets a true sense of who any of us are. I mean, they have a general idea, but not truly. And it's pretty cool that Dylan like knows who I am. And I feel like he would, it sounds so weird, but like he would know the exact same soul of me at like 5 years old versus now. It's just like the truest, rawest, purest form of me. It's so like gushy and annoying, but I don't know how else to explain it. It's like pretty cool.
I think that's a fantastic explanation.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, do you think, because you both are very funny people, and Ashley, I'm going to ask the same question to you, but you know, we all have our experiences on this show, and we all, and again, the in-depth podcast is not just to go back to the show all the time, but it is such a critical part of our lives, and it's what brought you two together, and it's brought my co-host and her husband together. Do you think humor has helped you heal? Because I imagine, and from my experience, there's damage caused by the emotions and the pains of the show. And then when you end up in a relationship, and now, you know, I am engaged to Jessica, like there's moments that the show still affects our relationship, and we have to figure out ways to heal as a couple from them. So for you, Ashley, I know you had your pains, obviously, going through Bachelor in Paradise. Hannah and Dylan, we just recently have watched kind of the struggles to get to the point you are. Has humor helped?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Positivity, humor, trying to not take it as so heavy because, I mean, it's a lot and it's a part that not a lot of people talk about, but knowing that, you know, something is edited in a certain way or you just mess up, like as simple as just like, or something doesn't go the way that every single person in the world wants it to, which that's not real life. It is on TV, but not in real life. And it's just really heavy knowing that millions of people are like slandering you or slandering, like, you know, who you love so much and so deeply. And so it's really nice to be around somebody who can kind of make light of it, make it not feel so heavy. It's like whenever you're in a bad mood and you watch a comedy show or a funny comedy on TV, you're like, okay, it's not that deep. Like that's a phrase that will just kind of like guide you to feeling like it's not so heavy because it does feel heavy when, you know, even if you turn it off or don't read it, you're like, wow, people are thinking about that me right now about, or those things about me right now. And that's hard. So
Ashley, what about for you and Jared? Like, how do you heal after a bachelor? I mean, Bachelor in Paradise brings on its own drama and its own weird circumstances. How did you heal as a couple to get to the place that, you know, obviously you are?
Well, I think it was probably just because we were friends throughout that.
Yeah.
I think we always talk about if we were a couple, if we left Bachelor in Paradise as a couple, that we would have some real big up and downs. And we think it worked out perfectly the way it was, where we didn't have to be in a relationship, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, romantic relationship, when we had to deal with those hurdles.
Let's see.
Did you guys, coming off the Bachelor in Paradise, have any arguments about what was being aired when like August and September came around? Were you like blissful in July and then August and September you had some fights while watching it back?
I don't think we had any fights. Like, I knew pretty much, like, we just talked the entire time in Paradise, so I knew everything, so nothing was really a surprise to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't really watch like a ton in the beginning because I was like, it's just pointless, like, I'm gonna get mad and then like it'll end up hurting our relationship versus being like more productive about it.
And online, Dylan is kind of like, you know, petty or whatever. It's like,
not petty,
okay, whatever, but in our relationship, he's very good at like really just taking out all of the junk and focusing on like the rational answer or the most supportive answer. And that's what we both kind of tried to do. And especially during Paradise, like, you know, you're watching and it hurts or whatever. And then you see like the world is also saying all these different things about you and stuff and things that are so special to you. Like, and yeah, I feel like we were pretty good about like communicating through it, which in some circumstances it's impossible to communicate about. It's just like a weird, like, you know, whatever. But in our space, it was, you know, I think we were pretty understanding about everything and like just making sure each other were good and holding on and getting through it. So,
Dylan, I want to switch gears for 1 second, and I want to go back to the very beginning of this podcast and just allow you a platform to speak, because I know and Ashley knows that you two are you're a couple that is so much bigger than the show now, right? You're a couple that is forming this love and this partnership that will last a lot longer than the show ever will. And then Dylan, it's impossible for me to just gloss over, which was my original intention, but it's impossible for us to gloss over your story without wondering like what it's like to now sit here and all the changes that have happened to you, good and bad, in the last 10 years, bringing you to the man you are today. Kind of, if you could just sit in that for a little bit and just look back at even the last like 8 years of your life and how much life has changed for you, like what words do you have to wrap around that? Is it, can you even explain it?
I think I take a lot of pictures and videos and I rewatch them a lot, and I've got like, they span back like 7 years essentially. And so Hannah can like attest to it. Sometimes I'll just like sit on my phone and watch old videos. And like, I have like voicemails my dad I'll listen to, and like looking at pictures, like being back in high school. And then I take screenshots of stuff like when the show was airing that I thought was just like, holy crap, like I'm trending on Twitter. Like I took a screenshot of that, like stuff like that. And I just try to appreciate it and just like be like, okay. And my big thing is like appreciating that, but also living in the moment at the same time and being like, this is what I have today. Like, how can I take advantage of it? And I feel like I was able to do that in a lot more ways of my life first, instead of like being on the show, like whether that's like starting our app or meeting Hannah and just being like, you know, I'm going to completely go for it. And then I don't know. It's definitely weird. It's very surreal. My mom and I talk about it a lot. We're just like, how, like, I always say like, wow, my dad would have thought this was the funniest shit of all time, that these people are like taking pictures or like writing like blogs or getting all up in a, getting their, I don't want to say
panties in a bunch
when I tweet something like, and I just think it's so funny because I'm still this quite literally the same exact person. And I think that's like the highest compliment that I think my friends have given me since all of this started, because I was always afraid of that. But no, it's I'm just very like appreciative of it and just thankful for sure.
Well,
go ahead,
Ash.
Sorry. No, you go ahead.
You know, it's a, it could be a loaded question, but twofold. So one is, Dylan, how does your mom, and Hannah, I would love for you to answer this if you could, but how does Dylan's mom respond to you? Because you're obviously a gift to their life. And then Dylan, how does your mom respond to all of this, the good and the bad and all the funniness? And then finally, as a couple, and Ashley, after this, I'll let you kind of take it away. As a couple, then, as we sit in the midst of self-isolation, and Dylan, I think if anybody could speak to being appreciative for the moments that we have, it's you. I want to personally, as somebody that does like you, has always liked you since the moment I've met you, liked you. I want to hear your advice on how can we as a people right now be appreciative for the things that we've lost in the season that we're in, for the things that we're gaining, and just the moments that we still have in isolation. So, okay, first question was, Hannah, how has Dylan's mom responded to you? Dylan, how has your mom responded to the whole thing? And then Dylan and Hannah, if you have stuff to add in too, is how do you find and how do you just gain appreciation for everything that's changing right now in our world?
So something a lot of people don't know, his mom and brother were actually flown to Mexico during Paradise, and I met them, and it wasn't aired. So I was very nervous to meet Dylan's mom, just because he was like, she's a very strong woman, like she's, you know, protective over me, she loves me a lot, whatever. But luckily our conversations flowed supernaturally, and I was like, trust me, I get it. Like, this is a little taboo of a situation, but Dylan and his heart and who he is and what he stands for rocks. And it's really compatible with me and, you know, all this stuff. And as soon as the show was over, too, I flew to Wisconsin to their lake house. And we really got to just hang out a ton. And I love Cassandra Barber. I think she's amazing, great human, and really funny.
She's hilarious. She's the most selfless, caring person I think I know next to Hannah, like the two of them. But yeah, that was funny. I like a side note for that story is Hannah left. And then I like sat on the couch
in Mexico,
yeah, in Paradise. And it was the day before proposals. And I like put my feet up on the couch and my brother was like, are you going to get engaged? And I was like, no, don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it. Like, it's not going to happen. And they leave and I lean over to Todd and I was like, oh yeah, we're doing it.
Speaking of moments like that and the sense of humor that you apparently inherited from your mom, like, you are such a funny, silly, sarcastic, like, shitster. But on the show, on Paradise, you came across as this lovesick puppy, and we only saw one dimension of you.
I'm still lovesick puppy.
That's so cute. I
think, like, with that, I was definitely – I didn't really do anything the first week. Like, the first week, I didn't drink alcohol. I was, like, 100% sober. I would wake up, go eat breakfast, and be like, okay, I got to get to know this Hannah girl. And then kind of after that, I started being a little more mischievous. And then I've just obviously continued being like, so, like my mom is very good at being like, you know what, Dylan, maybe you should, like, shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, like, maybe you should say something, like that kind of stuff. And I think that's why she's, like, she's just the best. She helps me, like, in terms of responding to all of this. Like, she keeps me grounded for sure if I, like, get too worked up about something or if I, like, take something too lightly. She's always good at playing devil's advocate. Like, it's not just I think it's an echo chamber or wind tunnel or whatever it is, where, like, she just agrees with everything I say, like, 98% of the time. She actually contradicts it, which I think is good. But she's also, like, understanding and has my back no matter what. Like, if stuff gets, like, I don't really get any, like, hate, like, that much. But, like, when it does, I feel like it just, like, some people can be, like, really fucked up. And so, like, she's always good at getting my back when it comes to that kind of stuff. So, but she also just, like, takes it in. I think my family didn't really get exposed to it until maybe we were at this, like, polo match and people just kept coming up to Hannah and I. And that's when my mom was like, I think really understood how big of a deal it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when Kendall Jenner, like, posted us on her story, I think that she was like, wait, people actually watch the show. I was like, yes, mom, watch the show. So no, she's done really well. I know she kind of is like me where she'll call people out on social media, which I'm like, mom, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. But no, she's been absolutely, she's just been, like, the best. She's my rock. So, yeah, very appreciative.
I Dylan, I'm not shocked that you, as Ashley said, you've always been funny. You do stir the pot, which in, like, a healthy, good way. I'm saying that in, like, a healthy, funny way. And to tell your brother and mom, hey, I'm not going to engage, and then lean over to one of the producers just really does feel like you. Dylan, I know that was a great answer about, you know, Hannah, your relationship with Dylan's mom, which is really cool to see. I wish they would have showed that in Paradise. I think it would have added a depth to your relationship, but maybe it wasn't needed. But Dylan, again, I come back, and Hannah, please add in where you can and where you want. During this time of craziness, how do we find appreciation? How do we enjoy these moments?
Yeah, I think you're never, like, we'll probably never have an experience like this again, hopefully for the rest of our lives, where everybody is just, like, quarantined to their house. You can't leave. You don't have pretty much any distractions. And so at least we've been trying to, like, I try to talk to my mom every day, talk to my brother every day, like, text with my friends. Cause I've been playing a lot of video games, but that's, like, with my friends that I never get to see, or, like, I never get to talk to, which is, like, kind of been, it's been really, really nice to, like, reconnect with everybody. And then just, I think one thing, like, my cousin and I were talking about, which I thought, like, for a business perspective, it's always good. But personally, I think it's even better as we're focusing on like, what could we work on now that when this all gets hopefully back to normal or like relatively back to normal, that will be better for it. And so I think that's just like kind of what we're figuring out, whether we want to learn something new. That's like Hannah and I were talking about like learning a language or something like that. And just something like that. So like finding the silver lining and everything is something that we're just trying to focus on.
And Ben, like what you said earlier, it's very rare, like that we can all spend this time without having to travel and everything like that, just simply together and to have those moments of quietness or boredom. And that's really rare in all of our lives, in everybody's life. And then on the other side of that, it's just like trying to find a way to kind of use these platforms to possibly make a difference through all of it. I was talking to somebody this morning actually about, you know, what I can kind of do either bring awareness or to make change in somebody's life, because a lot of people are laid off right now. A lot of people don't have jobs. A lot of people have families, and that's huge. I mean, as much as it sucks to be like, oh, I'm bored hanging out at the house, like, what am I going to do for 30 more days? It's like, there's people that are actually struggling with it. Wise are having, you know, with the kids not having meals at schools and things like that. Like, that stuff is pretty wild. And I know a lot of people are starting to like hop on the bandwagon and trying to make a difference. But I know we're in the early stages of talking about like trying to figure out things that we can actually do too.
You know what? The two of you are spot on. And I know that the two of you come from a place right now where, as we were prepping for this podcast, I was like, I wonder what kind of ridiculousness these two have gotten into as they've locked in their houses. I can imagine it's a lot of cuddling, a lot of kissing, and not like your makeout kissing. Like, they just do this thing where like they put their arms around each other and they just like nuzzle, I would say. I've seen the nuzzling, and they laugh a lot. I know there's a lot of joy in that house. But thank you for sharing that, because I think it's been the message that I've heard that stuck the whole time is, we all have something to do in this moment, and we can do something. Team, let's take one more break. When we come back, Ashley is going to just rapid fire some questions and some topics at you. We'll be back with Hannah and Dylan on the Almost Famous In-Depth Podcast.
I know that you guys said last month that you are not in the wedding planning phase right now. You don't have a date. You don't have a time. Does that still stand?
We're moving closer to it. I think now is kind of like made it an interesting time, because we're stuck in the house. We're like sending locations to each other back and forth. But a lot of weddings are getting pushed out. So it's like, we have no idea how much longer this is going to go, because everybody already has those locations signed. So like, we're not really sure what it looks like, but we're starting it.
The time off has definitely made it like a topic that can come up. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, what should we talk about right now? And it's like, well, that would be fun. But we're also not like, super rushing.
Tell her what else we're looking at.
Oh, houses. We've been looking at houses for fun out here, so we could possibly move in together at some point, but we're not sure when. But it's like kind of fun to like look and get an idea of what the gist is.
So, Hannah, you moving to San Diego?
Right. Maybe. I don't know, though.
He looks like he's celebrating.
Yes.
He's won this debate.
Facing the roof.
Yes. Hopefully.
Even though you're not planning the wedding right now, what do you see the wedding to look like? Is there a theme? Is there an amount of people that you think is ideal?
Yeah, I think having carnival games is really important.
No.
And elephants.
No.
I think it's going to be, we learned from the engagement party, like we tried to keep it really small, and it still ended up being what felt like 100 people. So I think the wedding's going to be like at least like 300 to 500 people, because it's just like there's.
Wait, for real?
How many people are you?
Yeah,
are yours?
Dead serious.
180.
Yeah, I think we'll have at least 300 people.
So we had a max capacity. So the max was 180.
Yeah, I think we'll have at least 300. My parents had like 300, 400 people at their wedding.
Holy moly.
It's going to be a blast.
I don't know. We got to, maybe we can.
I'm not excluding anyone like that are my friends. I feel like some of my friends didn't get to like make it, which like sucked. But I'm like, And I didn't think about it. We had all those people. I didn't invite my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. I didn't invite any of those people. And like they would come to the wedding. So
we could probably do like a 180 to 200.
300.
300. It's gonna be, what do you see it looking like? Is it going to be modern? Is it going to be boho? What's your dress going to look like, Hannah?
Yeah.
I want to blow Dylan's socks off the water. I want him to have no... is that the phrase? Blow his socks off the water?
I think it's just blow your socks off.
Yeah.
What water? Like sweat?
No, you did good, though. You did good.
I want to blow his socks off. And I want him to have no clue. I don't even know what I like, honestly. Like, I feel like I always have such a specific idea, but I've, like, dressed up so much that I kind of want to just, like, put one on and be like, ooh, like, I love this. I don't know. I don't want to be too picky because I know myself. And if I have one image in my head and I don't, like, get that, then nothing's going to be good enough. So.
Okay. So you don't want to daydream about it too much.
Yeah. I want there to be greenery, some sort of greenery, yeah, and some body of water.
Do you foresee any bachelor people being in your bridal parties?
Is that like the bachelor party and bachelorette party?
Like, that's...
Yeah.
Or being like a groomsman?
Being a groomsman or a yeah, bridesmaid.
Maybe?
I have 10 spots already spoken for, essentially, from okay, like... the guys that I grew up with. So like if Hannah could come up with like 15 bridesmaids, then yeah, but other than that, probably not.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. I think it's just gonna depend on how many like spots we have. Cause I have so many like OG friends and then like relatives friends. So we'll see.
Do we foresee Hannah B and Tyler being dates to this wedding?
I don't know.
I don't. Why do you say that? What's happening with them?
I don't know. It seems like they're spending a lot of time in quarantine together.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Where? In Alabama?
No, I think it's Florida.
Tyler lives in Florida?
All right. Moving on. are you guys ready for rapid fire?
Yes.
Fire away, please.
Who makes coffee in the morning?
Me.
Dylan.
For Hannah.
For Hannah.
He brings it to me in bed.
I don't drink coffee.
Very sweet. Who's a better cook?
Depends. Hannah's really good at breakfast. I'm really good at dinner. But she did make chicken crockpot tacos the other night. That was also really good.
Favorite thing to Postmates?
Takaya. I love Takaya.
Oh, I love Takaya so much.
Okay, Takaya. Takaya or True Food.
Okay. I don't know True Food. Is that a San Diego thing?
No, it's like West Coast, Arizona. I think they might have one in DC. They're pretty good.
What are your love languages?
Physical touch, words of affirmation.
I'm words and what is the other one? I can't think
acts of service.
Yeah, acts of service. What are you?
I'm the exact same as Dylan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm like, I need you to initiate the touch with me. Yes. Do you want? I was like, it doesn't count if I initiate the touch with you.
Or just stand there, and I'll just like hug on to you.
I know. I like pet him like an animal all day.
I've been doing. I do this to Hannah. Like, yeah. Rub her head to fall, like, so she falls asleep.
Anytime I need to fall asleep, I mean, yeah. I don't know how. We always talk about it. He'll rub my hair until I fall asleep, and then. You think it's okay for you to fall asleep.
Yeah, and then I can go to sleep.
And I'm not even like rub my hair. He just does every night. And it's the best thing in the world. I love getting petted. So.
That is super adorable. Yeah, I give so much physical touch to Jared. I'm like, I touch his beard. I touch his back. It's like everything.
What are Jared's?
Jared's is definitely acts of service, which he hasn't learned until like lately. I think that I give him all love languages so completely, he couldn't even figure out what he needed. And then, like, he started thinking about, like, he was like, well, why don't you take the dog out more? And why don't you do the dishes? Why are you just leaving the dishes in the sink? And then I was like, this man is an acts of service guy.
Hey.
Yeah. So, speaking of those pet peeves, what are yours about each other?
What's your response?
I don't have any. She's
That's
perfect.
That's a safe answer. Come on.
No, It's not a pet. I feel like a pet peeve has a connotation, but like.
Yeah, yeah. What's like an annoyance?
Yeah. What really pisses you off?
Exactly.
No, when Hannah has so much going on that if I like add one thing, then the wheels fall off sometimes. Okay. Like last night, I was like, I'm going to go pick up the food. Would you mind picking a movie that we could watch? And then I get back and I was like, what movie are we watching? She's like, well, I haven't picked yet, but I showered, I cleaned up, I did the dishes, and I folded the laundry. And I was like,
which is all very good.
Which is all very good.
But I just have a very, I have a very busy itinerary at not always the right time. Like as soon as I do something, I'm like, oh, I should mark off all of these other things first. And then I don't get to what I'm doing sometimes. But
we watched Insidious.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And my biggest pet peeve is probably,
yeah, what's your biggest pet peeve, Anna?
Here's one. That you always want me to bird with you, but birding scares me.
Birding seems very scary. I'd break a bone.
But he has one.
Well, I have one, so it's like.
He's like, let's hop on the bird and go here. And I'm like, no, let's just drive.
Together, the two of you on the same bird?
We do it all the time.
That would freak me out.
I don't really enjoy it a lot. It scares me.
What's the last gift you gave to each other?
What?
What is the last gift I gave you? Like a wrapped gift or like?
Yeah, sort of. Or a surprise. A treat.
I don't know. What did you surprise me with?
Well, I just ordered you a circle mirror on Amazon.
That's true.
Surprise. I just did that yesterday.
Ordered a circle mirror for the house.
And it was going to be a surprise, but then I ended up just telling him that I got it. More axe.
Like, Hannah was like, I don't have tools to hang up pictures. So then I just, like, would order tools to her house.
Yeah.
Okay, that's sweet.
I told him, like, this one candle. I was like, it smells like my house to me right when I got to LA. And I was like.
Yeah, so I got, like, 20 candles.
He was like, okay, well. And then the next day, he was like, look outside. And he completely stocked me with those candles. And I literally started bawling crying because I was like, oh my gosh, like so scared about being in LA and everything. But he does like sweet things like right when I need it.
That is so, so cute. What is the last show you guys binge watched?
Tiger King.
Tiger King.
Okay, Tiger King. Do you guys really think it was as crazy? I mean, I'm not done with it. I still have 2 episodes left. You think it was just as good as everybody's making it seem?
Well, I mean, you're 4 in. The ending, like the last 2 episodes, I think are the craziest.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Oh, okay, cool. Because that's what I've got.
Carol,
okay, we got
Carol
2 or 3
definitely
more episodes.
Fed her husband to a tiger like that.
Oh, 100%. That was the episode that got me the most so far.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That definitely happened. Like 100%. I can't wait until they make hopefully they make a movie.
Well, you know that they opened the investigation.
Yes.
Oh, I'm stoked about that.
Yes.
I hope they're filming
it. Yes, 100%.
They have to film it.
They filmed it. They didn't touch on this. I wish they did. The guy filmed the documentary for like 5 years.
Wait, holy moly.
Like all of that stuff went over the course of like 5 years, I'm pretty sure. Like all of the filming.
Yeah, because
and, like,
Joe Exotic was not in jail when he first started filming.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So like, they say it like the very beginning. Or it's like 4 years or something like that. And I was like, you should have talked about that more. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
My last question for you, I normally wouldn't ask a couple because usually the girl would be a given here. But I know that Dylan loves his suits. So who has more closet space?
Where?
I mean, who, like, takes up more closet space? Like, who needs a bigger closet when you guys get a house together?
Me. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, he for a guy, I think, he definitely has a lot of clothes. But mine is, it's an entire
room. Do you have a whole room dedicated to your clothes, Hannah?
Huh?
Do you have a whole room dedicated to your clothes?
I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need a glam room like me. It's the best.
Oh, wait. I want to see pictures of your glam room.
Oh, I'll send you some video after this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got to figure that out. And I'm also trying to, like, declutter. So I'm always trying to get rid of them and, like, donate all of my clothes. I did 8 bags the other day, and my closet's still packed, but.
Yeah.
I've got a hookup for you in that case, too. All right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for participating in Rapid Fire.
Yay!
Thank you.
This was another really great in-depth podcast. As we've mentioned before, we met Hannah Ashley, I don't know how long ago, a year ago, and she was in the Hall of Fame of guests. People loved her then. Dylan has brought joy and laughter to our lives since then. They've joined us during a crazy week and shared their hearts with us. Ashley, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
I hope you're continuing to thrive in the midst of some chaos. We heard some dogs barking earlier. Say hi to the pups for us.
They're my baby.
I know. Hey, team, we'll be back next week with another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.